May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text that I have chosen for today is taken from our epistle lesson, emphasizing the first three verses of Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition for sinful men, so you will not grow weary or lose heart. Here ends our text. Dear friends, last week, Pastor Lair delivered a sermon entitled The Eyes of Faith, based on chapter 11 of Hebrews. Here we know we have recorded what we have called through the years the hall of faith. Those Old Testament people who exampled the meaning of faith and how it was active within their own lives. Our epistle lesson then today started out with taking us through the rest of the hall of faith. In chapter 11, we're told what this faith is all about. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We are also told that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Of these members of the Hall of Faith, it was written also that they died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them from afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were indeed strangers and pilgrims on earth. And again, it is said of them, they desired a better country, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Through the eyes of faith, they live and they die, looking to that eternal life that awaited them. They live by faith and not by sight. They live by faith, standing on the sure promises of God. No doubt we have been associated with people that we might include on our own wall of faith or hall of faith. Their lives were based on, as we would say, nothing else than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Old Testament, New Testament Christians lived and died are the great cloud of witnesses of which is spoken of in chapter 12 that surround us. And if we look at them, there's probably a number of messages we can get. But the one that sticks out of my mind is they're saying to us, don't give up. In chapter 12, then, we are encouraged to run the race that is beset before us. Now, the Greek here gives us the idea of keep on running. There's no end to the race until you reach the finish line. And so, in a sense, we're saying The race isn't finished until the race is finished. But we're on the right track. This running to complete the race brought to mind again those days of track and field that dominated our spring activities each year for a number of years. We had a jumper and we had a distant runner. So we always had to be there for the first event and the next to last event. So in other words, we were there most of the day. Now I have to tell you that a 2 mile race happens to be for me the most boring race there can be. My daughter didn't mind running it because as she went around the track, she was waving at all the boys. But the one event that has stuck out in my mind for many years now is actually a 2 mile race. It's a lesson we all need from this kid as we run the race that is before us. If I told this story before, sorry, I'm at that age, I forget. I tell the same stories. But anyhow, the boys were getting onto the track and you noticed right away in the midst of all these boys is this child or this boy with special needs. When the gun went off, they all took off together. The kid was in the middle of the pack and kept up for a while. And then he fell behind. He got further and further and further behind. To the point that some of the better runners had already lapped him a couple of times. Finally, the race ended. And the winners were rejoicing. But this kid still had a few laps to go, so he kept on running. People were walking across the track, they were getting ready for the next race, but that didn't bother him. He had a goal. He was going to finish the race, and he kept on going. And he kept on going. For a while, everybody just ignored him, didn't pay any attention to him. But he kept running. And finally, some of the officials took notice, hey, there's still a kid running on the track. He still has a lap or two to go. And so they moved everybody back off so this young man could run his race. And he kept running. And when he came around for his last lap, coming down the home stretch, the stands finally caught on. They all stood, and he had a standing ovation for finishing his race. What determination that man had. He started and he was going to finish no matter what. So the question becomes, are we that determined to run the race that is before us? Paul states his own determination to run the race when he wrote to the Philippians, "One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Now, we are given some guidelines or helps from our coach, in his word to finish the race with determination or run that race. First of all, we are told, lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. You see, we don't have to run with a bunch of baggage. We don't have to run with the baggage of guilt. No excuse baggage. No sin baggage. That baggage has all been taken care of when our Savior shed his own blood for us. And now we, excuse me, now we are told that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. With no baggage, we can run with determination the race that is set before us. He also tells us that when we run the race, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Why? He says, because he's the author and finisher of our faith. We are reminded what Jesus did for us in our text. For the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And there at the right hand of the throne of God, Jesus intercedes to the Father for all runners. At the right hand of the throne of God, he's preparing a place for us in his mansion. At the right hand of the throne of God, he hears our prayers for strength, for power of faith to finish the race with determination. And so when our personal race is over, hopefully everyone here and all Christians can say with Paul, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. Besides the sins that easily ensnare us and the baggage we carry, there's a great danger, my friends, to becoming weary along the way. The result is that our souls can become discouraged and we drop out of the race. Judas is a prime example of that, isn't he? He started the race, but the love of money seemed to dominate his life, and so he was willing to betray his Lord for a few coins. And how did his race end? With a noose around his neck. Demas was another one who had started the race, but Paul says dropped out of it. And there were others that Paul pointed to in his epistles to different churches, different people who had started the race, but they dropped out. Jesus kind of told a parable about that, didn't he, when he talked about the seed of God's word being sown, and it's sown into different hearts. But not all of it produced faith. Some started but dropped out for different reasons. And unfortunately for pastors, we have endured the heartbreak caused by dropouts. Too many of our young people finished the race at confirmation, or after they've gotten through college. One thing we don't want to do as that we run that race before us is to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some. So skipping church is not a healthy way for running that race that is before us. It's here, in this house of God, where you receive the strength and the power and the determination to keep on running. Word and sacrament are the fuel we need to keep on running and is our safety net against dropping out. Sometimes I think people think pastors are just kind of like a broken record. They seem to say the same thing over and over and over again, yada, yada, yada. I preached this same message for some 56 years now. And you know what? Some people just don't get it. Someone to run their own race according to their own rules. But it doesn't work that way. Some put the race off and say, oh, I'll do this later. I want to have a little fun right now. I'll get my life together later. My friends, it doesn't work that way. Oh, it's so easy in this day and age to say, I don't need the church. I don't need to go to church. I can be a Christian without the church. It doesn't work that way. You simply cannot finish that race set before you unless you regularly are nourishing your faith on word in sacraments. That's why God gave us these gifts. God knew we would need them. The Spirit through them would keep us on the right track. He makes them available to us. His message to us, use them, cherish them, and above all, do not forsake them. My friends, run the race with endurance that is set before you. Run with determination. Keep your eyes always fixed on the heavenly finish line. For there, and only there, will you receive a crown of righteousness. But just, please, from the bottom of my heart, I beg, don't ever give up. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.